We want you to know that you are our special guest. We invite you back every opportunity that you have to be with us. As has been stated already, what a grand way to start out a worship service of the Lord and have a new brother to be among us and to join us in spirit and in truth in worshiping our God. We're so thankful for Brandon and thankful for the decisions that he made. And really, this lesson today now fits in very well, because the decisions he made is exactly what I have written on the board. There was a heart cut. I want you to bear with me just a little bit. It's going to be somewhat of a narrative type lesson. And I want you to go back in your mind's eye for just a moment. We'll be reading some passages of Scripture, making some points. But for this Sunday, I want you to go back in your mind's eye and say that you were one of those that were present 2,000 years ago. Whenever a man that was brought before a crowd of people that had been judged by Pilate, had been standing before Herod, brought back to Pilate again, scourged, beaten, and now brought before the people to be crucified. And I want us, each and every one of us, to go back and to think about us being there that day during those events. And the reason being is that I believe that we would be no different in our actions and our attitudes than those people were at that time, given the conditions and situations in which they found themselves in at the death of Christ Jesus. We are part of the crowd 2,000 years ago. We're calling out for the death of this man. We don't really know much about him, but there have been some things that we've heard, but yet we're still calling out for his death. You don't know exactly why, but you reason, we all reason in our mind, that surely the Sanhedrin, the leaders, know exactly what they're doing, that there's something about this man that we didn't know. And we find ourselves uttering these words, first of all, whenever Pilate, in Matthew 27, 21 through 25, says, "What shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" And each and every one of us cried out, "Let him be crucified." And then Pilate says, "What evil has he done?" But we all shouted the more, "Let him be crucified." So then, when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing and that a riot was about to begin, he washed his hands before the crowd and said, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See it to yourselves." And we all cried out, "His blood be on us and on our children." But that wasn't enough for us to do. We walked in front of that cross. This man, after being beaten, being nailed to this cross, and being lifted up from the earth, is before us. We walk by and we deride him. We walk by, we wag our heads, and we look up at him, and we utter these words, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." And then we hear our leaders, our chief priests, our scribes, and our elders mocking him. And they are saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" Within just a few short hours, we witness this man hanging upon the cross that we really don't know much about, but we witness him give his last breath and die before us. We really don't care what takes place after that. He's taken by a man that put him in his own tomb, a rich man, Joseph of Arimathea, and he is buried. But just a couple of days later on the Sabbath, because we're remaining in Jerusalem, we've been there for the days of the unleavened bread, for the Passover, and we're going to stay because of the Pentecost feast, which is coming up 50 days later. We're staying in Jerusalem, and on that Sabbath, after that man was put to death, we go to a synagogue for the reading of the law, as is our tradition. The attendant delivers the scroll containing Isaiah's writing to the reader. He scrolls to the following passage, and the reader reads aloud.
Who hath believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, the man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who hath declared his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he hath done no violence, nor was any seed in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors.
Did any of us, after the hearing of the reading from Isaiah, did any of us recognize that we have just had part in putting to death the one that Isaiah spoke of by prophecy? Did any of us recognize that the things that were described there in that particular passage in Isaiah, did any of us recognize that we were carrying out that prophecy? But we probably would reason in our mind, this couldn't be the one. This couldn't be the Messiah. He's not what the leaders and our scribes and our teachers tell us that the Messiah should be. He was known by those in this area. His family was known. He was a simple man. He was poor. This couldn't be the Messiah that we're expecting, the one that is the deliverer. There was no battle. There was no deliverance. But yet there was. 1 Corinthians 15:54 through 57, when the perishable put on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, or grave, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. After Sunday, the first day of the week, you begin to hear, each and every one of us begin to hear rumors. Some things that are being said that persist for the next 50 days. We hear, first of all, that after the death of this man, Matthew 27, verse 50 through 53, the veil of the temple that separated the holy place from the most holy place was torn in two from top to bottom. We know that the earthquake, because we were there, and the rocks were torn apart. We know that. But we also heard that the tombs were opened and many bodies of the saints that had fallen asleep were raised. And coming forth out of the tombs, after his resurrection, they entered into the holy city and appeared unto many. Was this man that we put to death, that we cried out for his death, was he just a man? We hear that he showed himself alive, Acts the first chapter, verses 3 through 9. After his death, for 40 days, he was walking upon this earth and speaking of things concerning the kingdom of God. We also hear that he was taken up in a cloud. He ascended into heaven. Do these things matter to us? On that Sunday, 50 days after these reports started concerning the resurrection of this man, the day of Pentecost, we hear some things that are stated by some of his followers. Acts 2, 22 through 24. You men of Israel, hear the words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God unto you by mighty works and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, even as also yourselves know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, yet by the hand of lawless men did crucify and slay, whom God raised up, having loosed the pangs of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. We hear those words. We're perplexed by the things that we've been hearing for the past 50 days. We're now starting to concentrate a little bit more on the reading from Isaiah and our part in what took place. We also hear on that same day a man by the name of Peter, who was a follower of this man, make this statement in Acts 2, verses 36 and 37. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that that same Jesus whom you have crucified is both Lord and Christ. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what must we do? Are we cut to the heart? Most definitely on this day, the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection of this man, Jesus Christ. 3,000 that are listening are cut to the heart so that they become obedient. But just a few days after this, we're going to see others that were cut to the heart also. Acts 5, verses 30 through 33. Once again, that man Peter making statement before the Sanhedrin. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew hanging on a tree. Him did God exalt with the right hand to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance to Israel and remission of sins. And we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, who God gives to them that obey him. But they, when they heard this, the Sanhedrin, were cut to the heart and were of mind to slay them. The fact is that these words that were spoken 2,000 years ago, they cut to the heart. And we see it again as we look in Acts 7, chapter verse 54, with a man by the name of Stephen. Wherever Stephen told the Jews about their history, their heritage, their attitude, their sin. It says in verse 54 of Acts 7, now when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and gnashed on him or at him with their teeth, and we know the rest of the account, and they stoned him to death. that gospel that caused 3,000 on that day of Pentecost to be obedient also causes those to reject and rebel against the Lord. How were we taking it? What would have been our attitude? Would we be among those that were obedient, or would we be among those that would reject? 2,000 years has passed since those days. Was what took place just a myth or a legend? You know, myths and legends come and go. No one today sits at the pool of Bethesda waiting for the stirring of the waters as recorded in the King James Version in John the 5th chapter. There's a reason for that. That pool, which is a sheep gate pool, is under Muslim control presently. But that myth and legend no longer takes place. But what we see here is the events of that day 2,000 years ago are still retold through God's word, still believed on by those that want forgiveness, still acted upon by those that want to please the Lord. But those events continue to play out daily. And they are going to again play out today as we are gathered here in this place right now at this time by you and me. Listening to this account of the gospel, whether you realize it or not, your heart is cut. You will either obey because your heart has been cut, and you recognize that you, if you had been there 2,000 years ago, would have had hand in exactly what Jesus did, but the very purpose that he came, as recorded for us by the Hebrew writer in the 10th chapter in verse 5, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. The very reason that he came was for you and for me. You recognize that you had a part of that which took place 2,000 years ago. You recognize now the words that John the Baptizer spoke after Jesus was baptized in John the 1st chapter in verse 29. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Your heart will be cut either to obey him this morning and become a child of God, or your heart will be cut to reject him. And you will reject him because he is an accusation and an offense against you. Acts 13, verse 40 and 41, Paul said to the Jews, beware therefore lest that come upon you which is spoken in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work in which ye shall no wise believe, if one declare it unto you. If as a Christian you've slipped back into the world, your heart too is going to be cut. Either to return to the Lord because you recognize that Christ Jesus' death not only affected you spiritually in becoming a Christian, but also you realize that that same blood forgives you of your sins if you've fallen away from him. 1 John 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we reject, we play out the words of the warning that is given by the Hebrew writer in the 6th chapter, verses 4 through 6. For as touching those who were once enlightened and tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit and tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then fell away, it is impossible to renew them unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. And with an attitude of rebellion and rejection, there is no hope. We have to understand, if we're in that condition, that we are an offense to the Lord and to our brethren. James 5, verses 19 and 20. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whosoever brings back a sinner from the wandering, from his wandering will save a soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. I suggest to you this morning, your heart is cut. Your response will either be obedience to the gospel of Christ Jesus, just as Brandon did this morning, and we are so grateful and we rejoice with him. What a wondrous occasion for us being here this day. If you're not a Christian, let your heart be cut and follow that example that Brandon showed for you this morning of one wanting to do his will. But know also, your heart is cut either way. It may be a response from the gospel of indifference, but still a cut heart, because you have to explain away why it is that you don't serve and worship and obey the one true and living God. It may be rejection. No, I'm not going to follow that because of my heritage, because of my family, because of the beliefs that they have. It may be direct rebellion. I will not be accused by anyone, but yet your heart is cut and you are going to make a response this morning. If you're not a child of God, and even if you are a child of God, you will make a response based upon your heart being cut. And so I ask you, how will you react to the truth-inflicted wound that you have heard this morning? If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing. Yes.